Putting the Scat in Eschatology. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
You look marvelous.
Have a listen to Jory Nash.
I've been trying to remember. Was it for the love of a loaded gun or political display? Cause we've been down here since November, soaking up in old time record, sun-drenched holiday. I've been advised that it's a long siesta. Time and to ease your day. Some might recline, no, but I suggest that we could be run away.
Well, folks, Jory Nash is an award-winning singer, songwriter, and storyteller who blends elements of folk, jazz, blues, pop, soul, and rap into... No, I'm just kidding, the last one. Into an original stew of sound.
Very tasty stew.
Very tasty, tasty stew. He has recorded 6 critically acclaimed albums and 3 other ones that suck. So nominated 2010 Canadian Folk Music Award. Is it a privilege just to be nominated?
No, I wanted to win, but I didn't.
Good for you. Regularly heard on CBC and Sirius XM and BBC, Galaxy Satellite.
And now this show.
And now the Drew Marshall Show. Mariposa, Summer Folk, Home Country Folk Festival, Hillside, Live from the Rock, Blue Skies. I would like to see you over at Glastonbury.
I would love to play Glastonbury. I don't think they know me very well there yet.
Well.
But one day. Maybe they'll hire me. Listen, Duran Duran's never got to play it, right? It's a problem. Like, they're upset. Duran Duran's upset that they've never been asked to play.
Seriously?
Glastonbury. Yeah, there's a whole festering thing. So when Duran Duran gets to play it, then I'm next.
You know, back in our day, we used to call them Duran Duran. Not Duran Duran. It was Duran Duran. Remember that, Timmy? Back in our day.
You know what they're named after?
What?
Can't say on air.
Oh, okay.
But where did it come from? What's the movie?
Barbarella.
That's right. That's right. Barbarella.
If you ever want to know any useless television trivia or any kind of trivia, that's the man right there.
You join my Tuesday night trivia team.
I was.
There's really? A name that tune component.
Oh, awesome. Oh, we're all over that. All over that. Driving back from Rama, from the various gigs I go to all the time up there, I do the channel changing thing on the radio with buddies, and we go, you know, first one to guess. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so I was mentioning your name the other day to a fellow named Mr. Bennett. Michael Bennett, Mr. Bennett, Planet Bennett is his website. The guy is, he came out of the sort of the punk scene, but now he's this ukulele virtuoso, brilliant lyricist, like throws down, what did I say, if Tom Waits and Bob Dylan had a baby and then gave it to, who's the depressing Canadian singer? What's his name? Leonard Cohen. You know, he's just a phenomenal. Anyway,
people are lighting fires outside the building right now.
I mentioned your name and he went, oh yeah, I know him. I said, what do you mean? He gets all the gigs. He's everywhere. He is a rock star.
Because that's the second time somebody said that. And then, you know what? It's not true.
It is.
It's always a perception that other people do better than
Is that what it
you.
Is? It's Canadian.
And it's like, yeah. And it's like, I play as much as I can, but I'm struggling to get gigs like the next person.
You know. Tell me about this axe you have. I love the soundboard on it. I'm trying to see the head size. Is that a Martin?
This is a Martin, yeah. Yep. This is a custom 15 Martin that is no longer made. It's now the HDV28, you know, herringbone, bracing, V-neck, D28 otherwise.
Beautiful.
This first guitar, my father, when I was growing up, he's the kind of person that would say, you want to do something, do it well. So I started out as a piano player, and so I took lessons. And I said, I heard a camp counselor play James Taylor when I was 15, so I came home and said, I want to switch to guitar. So I got a guitar, and I had to take lessons and to show that I was actually dedicated.
Nice.
And then when I was 18, my father said, all right, we had a family event going on down in New Jersey. We got family in Jersey, family in New York. And there's a beautiful guitar store on Staten Island called the Mandolin Brothers,
okay,
that Joni Mitchell actually sang about in the song. She wrote a song called Song to Sharon, and the first line is, I went to Staten Island, Sharon, to buy me a mandolin. Well, my father took me to that store, and I must have played 3 hours worth of guitars, and he split the cost.
Nice.
So, I spent my entire life savings, and that was his deal. You know, once I showed that I was...
Yeah.
So
I did the same thing. I walked away, except I had to pay for it all. But that's okay, Dad. I knew you were listening. It's okay. For a Jumbo Guild, a 76.
Do you still have it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's just the sweetest thing. It's got just full fat bottom end thing going on. And so do you remember the James Taylor song your camp counselor sang? That
Fire and Rain.
Yeah.
And he told the story and all the girls went all crying. Hey? And I'm like, man, I want to do that.
I got to give you some of that.
I want that.
Yeah, James Taylor, that's my, actually, if I interview James, I'm quitting after that.
He's a unique player. I mean, some of the production choices have colored people's ideas. You know, he had a very sort of ersatz sound to some of his later 70s record, very slick. And some people didn't like some of his soul covers, but I think he's a unique guitar player. Has some very intricate finger-picking patterns. And
is he the hammer-on, roll-off king? Pull off
a little bit of both, but he's also got he has some very unique finger picking patterns that are really James Taylor.
Can you lay something like that? Can you do
it? I don't write like him, but I can do it. Yeah, I kind of do. You know that. Wouldn't nice be in tune? But yeah, he does these weird things that are a little bit different than most.
Yeah,
and I think he's sort of getting more and more credit among players now. And.
Well, a friend of mine, while you're tuning, a friend of mine from Australia, Mr. Tommy Emmanuel, is sort of a bit of a freak show on guitar.
He plays Hughes Room a lot, too.
Yeah, he's outgrown the old Hughes Room now. When he started coming up here, he went to Hughes Room and filled it up, and it done well. But then the Fingerstyle Society got a hold of him, and he's been playing at this big church on King or Queen, I don't know where it is. And then yet bigger venues even still. So he's making his mark up here for sure. Yeah. Well, let's stop chatting, shall we, and put you to work.
Sure.
Do you want cans on or no? You probably don't need them on. So set up the first song.
Okay, this one's interesting. I'll do the title track from the new record that I put out. It's called Little Pilgrim. And I went on tour to the U.S. last April and May. And I knew I was making the new record in the summertime, and I didn't have a title track. You just know when it's the right one. I didn't have it. And so I was panicking a little bit, and I thought maybe something will inspire me when I'm on the trip. And the first night I was playing in Baltimore in a church, and I was opening for a woman named Sloane Wainwright, who is the younger sister of...
The Bonanza family?
No. Rufus's aunt, and so it was Loudon Wainwright's younger sister. Okay. And she's a fantastic singer-songwriter, and she'd taken 10 years off to raise some kids and was getting back into it. And she has a nice following. And a lot of these concert series, folk concert series in the States, you know, they will take place in churches. They'll rent a church, put it on in the basement Friday night, and this was no different. And they're great places to play because they have a nice big space, usually in the basement, where, you know, they'll have room for 100-odd people. But they're not really built...
Acoustic.
For the modern conveniences. No, the acoustics can be good, but the modern conveniences of artists, like I'm used to a green room, I'm used to space. You know, my green room was the men's washroom, so that's where I was changing and putting on my suit to play, right?
I could be green.
And it could be. And I thought we were the only ones in the church, right? I thought that was it, but there was some kind of meeting going on not too far, and I could hear through the heating grate right above the urinals.
Beautiful.
Somebody talking. Yeah. And it was a cross between like an AA meeting and a confession, because it was one man talking and no response. But it was very honest, very sad, very uplifting. And he was saying things, and he had a very thick Southern accent that I'm not going to do justice. But he was, all I heard listening through the grates was, I have cheated and I have lied and I have stolen. And I have done drugs.
Was this Rob Ford?
This was Rob Ford, yeah. Or the Baltimore version of.
Right, yeah.
And he said, I've hurt the people I love, but I got to change. I got to do better. I'm going to do better. And this went on for 2 minutes, and there was no response. Nothing, just this one man probably talking to a group. But all I, sure. And I, the song kind of took shape right then and there.
Beautiful.
It's called Little Pilgrim.
Live on the Drew Marshall Show, Mr. Jory Nash.
Glory is not what we used to, and oil never lets you down like I do. And glory broke up the union. I guess someone needs a brand new bag. When Main Street closes on a Sunday, almost nobody walks through town. But down at All Saints, just past the railroad, we are carrying you through the crowd. And the temperature climbs and the hearts inflate, and Elijah's coming and I can't wait. I won't sit still, I can't see straight. Elijah's coming and I can't wait. Once I'd showboat and gamble, nothing ever turned out right. So at the last, I picked up the pieces of a broken and shattered life. And the time is now, the future is fate. Elijah's coming and I can't wait. I feel so good, it's a natural state. Elijah's coming and I can't wait. So long, you may flower. I know my place now. We've been running an identical race, but you should know. Know when you've been beat.
Live on the Drew Marshall Show, Mr. Jory Nash. Man, buddy, you know, okay, so I gotta tell you a little bit about how that song impacts me.
Sure.
I feel like I should be sitting in the sweaty South for some reason. There's just something about that that takes me to the sweaty South.
Setting up in Baltimore is like the top of the South.
Okay.
Right? And that was, so that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer, like, once you write a tune and you record it and you put it out there, how people react is the right reaction, even if every reaction is different. Mm. I take it. I appreciate it that you have a reaction, whether it's positive, negative, whatever it is, that it elicits a response. So I say thank you to anything that a song does.
You're welcome. You're welcome, my son. Okay, so let's do the Tiny Talentine question. We do this once in a while.
Never on the show. No,
you're never on the show. No. I see Billy. I see Susie. I see Billy. Get your finger out of your nose. What are you trying to pull? Influences.
Paul Simon's first and foremost.
Do you know? Hold on. Before you go on any after Paul Simon.
Oh, that brown guy.
Stop it. Preetam Sengupta. And
I have not heard that name.
And Preetam Sengupta and this other guy who sounded just like him. He was here. Can you go through our listen page for this past year? It was just a little while ago. Canadian guy, local Toronto based guy.
No, never.
He throws down the Simon esque stuff. Anyway, yeah.
I love singer songwriters. I love people with beautiful voices who write their own songs.
Did you ever get into Cat Stevens?
A little bit too, for lack of a better words, lacked the edge.
Yep.
It was a little bit bordering on sappy, some of the sentiments. Yep. I like a much more melancholy or a biting kind of writer. So someone like Pete Townsend is a great, someone that I really connect
right.
with. But I also like, Chuck Berry, like a lot of the old soul writers, like people like Smokey Robinson. I've recorded a Smokey Robinson tune. I like writers like Joni Mitchell. I like Bob Dylan. I'm a big Elvis Costello fan. Joe Jackson, Ricky Lee Jones. I like groove. I like people who really just take a unique twist on things and are unbelievable, understand how to use language. Yeah. There's some wonderful melody writers, but lyrically they can be weak, and that tends to be a lot more the music I hear today. There's nothing wrong with the melodies being created. But there's a lot of trouble I have with a lot of the sentiments and how they're expressed. There's a great writer in the States nowadays by the name of Eliza Gilkyson, who's brilliant. Brilliant writer on all fronts.
Dan Hill has written just a tremendous amount of material.
Yeah, and he's in
that. And yet when I think about Dan Hill's performances, I think of schmaltzy and sappy.
And he's – because you know what? And I've had the honor of meeting Dan. He's played – I produce the Gordon Lightfoot show, as we talked about. It's sort of every year at Hughes Room in Toronto. We do three nights. Actually, we played it one year. We took it to the Oakville, the center here in town. And basically, I invite 10 different Canadian roots artists to get up and sing Lightfoot songs. And Dan was on the show once. And I'm not a huge fan of what Dan does. But Dan is a strong believer in what he does in terms of how he presents it. He is aware that people consider him schmaltzy. Huh. But I don't say that he's a schmaltzy person, but he sells what he does. It's not an act. He is an emotional person.
Yeah.
And he wears that on his sleeve, and it shows. And so it's not my cup of tea,
yeah.
But I have a great deal of respect.
Okay.
For Dan. Matthew Ziotti.
No, that's not it. No, right. No.
Just remember that you're like the opening scene to
Donovan Woods.
Donovan Woods. That's who it is. Donovan Woods.
You're like the opening scene to the movie Reservoir Dogs. There's just that character reading through his Toby Woo, Toby Foo, Toby. Just a voice get every they'll have a conversation here and then Toby Woo, Toby what? It's like just this voice throwing out names.
Man.
No, I've heard the name Donovan Woods, but I don't know Donovan.
Let's do another song.
Sure.
What do you got for us?
This is a song I'm playing Mariposa Folk Festival this summer.
I've heard.
Which is but the last time I played it was four, maybe 5 years ago.
When you were six.
I moisturized, so I look
at I'm moisturized.
So you can't quite tell how old I am. And I'm in shape, too. If I'd shaved, I'd look like I was like 17.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm not.
No.
Anyway, they put me in the gospel music workshop, and this was the first time I'd ever been put in one. And I grew up in my house, we listened to folk music. Like capital F folk music. Mm. So I know a lot of gospel songs, but I'm not. I like the music. I connect to the music.
Yeah.
Like the sentiment behind it is less important to me. And so when I got picked, and I was sort of excited for a bit, and then I kind of panicked because everybody else in the workshop were serious gospel musicians, people who sing, believe what they're singing, has great meaning, not just the
probably Karen
songs.
Burke from Toronto Mass Choir. Might
she
have
wasn't
been
in it, but like Ken Whiteley.
Oh yeah,
is,
Ken.
You know,
yeah,
Ken's
been on the show a number of times.
You know, and he's so these are so I didn't want to be insulting like to him or to any of the people in the audience that are like foregoing church to come see. I just like the tunes, right?
Yeah.
But as a songwriter, you're like sometimes you can get an idea for a song where you don't expect it. And I thought there's a song in there somewhere about connecting to one side of gospel music, the musical side, without necessarily feeling the same thing about the lyrics that other people do.
Right.
And wrote the song quickly, debuted it at that workshop. I got a lot of nice comments, and it's sort of been in my set since. So it's called God Don't Know Me Anymore.
Oh, I love this. Folks, again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Mr. Jory Nash.
I am a castle, I am no villain. My own eyes have looked for that diamond in the snow. And all that I mention, I say God willing, but I only tell you things you already know. I once was a baby, oh, but I don't remember. They show me pictures of some kid on the floor. And we sat in a circle and laughed at the devil. And we prayed we'd remain in this world no more. He gave me good times and bad times and harmony. He gave me long nights and sometimes the dawn. Ooh, it was a dogfight, but now that I've lost, I say God don't know me anymore. Wade in the water, coming around the mountain, an old time religion, that's another one I recall. But it's so damn common to want to break even that I don't really know what I sing for at all. He gave me good times and bad times and harmony. He gave me long nights and sometimes the dawn. Ooh. It was a dogfight, but now that I've lost, I see God don't know me anymore. I go down to the river, where I stand there waiting, but I'm only here because I once was before. And I look in the water, and I wish I was forgiven, but I know that I don't have any hope anymore. He gave me good times and bad times and harmony. He gave me long nights and sometimes at dawn. It was a dogfight, but now that I've lost, I say God don't know me anymore. I say God don't know me anymore.
Absolutely beautiful, man. I requested that puppy. I heard that. You threw that down on a YouTube video. You're backstage at Hughes Room, and I said, oh, God, I have that one,
Thank
man.
You.
That's beautiful.
That was a neat story. It was the 10th anniversary of Hughes Room, and they asked a whole bunch of people to play, and there was somebody taping some select – they had asked us to do certain songs, and I got asked to do that because the owner of Hughes Room loves that song. So they were making like a surprise video for him.
Nice.
And I did it as well as I've ever done it on stage. I came off, and the guy says, my battery died halfway through your performance.
No.
Can you come do it again? So downstairs we went so that there wasn't enough. There's still some bleed. You can actually hear Catherine Wheatley singing in the background. And we went downstairs where I'm playing in a teeny, like, thin hallway. I have to tilt like this because you can't. You
can't even get there.
There's onions to the left of me.
Yeah.
There's potatoes
to
the
right.
Right. You know, and that's where that was
That's
done.
A line.
It is.
That is a line.
I think that might work in a song.
Buddy.
Onions to the left of me. Potatoes to the right.
Here I am, stuck in the middle with Ed Hughes.
Stuck in the middle with Hugh.
Thank you.
Not bad.
Thank you. There we go. All right. Listen, we've completely run out of time. Boy, and the thing I was warned about with you, no, that's probably the wrong word.
Does
warned
talk
about
a lot?
No, but I like that aspect because people can't set up songs properly. People suck at setting up songs.
And they do it on stage. They suck.
Oh, it's horrible.
They rehearse and they don't think about what they're going to say. And what you say in between songs is
totally
important.
Makes it. So two guys that have blown me with that is American singer-songwriter David Wilcox. When he sets up a song, man, does he take you there.
You're right, because he's totally – you say David Wilcox up here and you get do the Bearcat.
Yeah.
But David Wilcox in the States, he's like a James Taylor-esque
unbelievable
kind of dude.
Yeah. Another guy is Leo Kottke, actually. Leo is the point, you know, you're like, okay, I don't want you to play guitar anymore, guitar freak show. I want you to tell me stories. So,
and he's got – he needs to because he is an instrumentalist, right, for the most part.
Yeah.
And so setting up a picture
– Paints it better.
Yeah, especially if it's something that people don't know.
Okay, so we'll fade you halfway through this, just a heads up in this one. But tell me what you got going, and let's get into it.
Brand new. So this is the idea is that it's my opinion that there's people with faith, there's people with no faith, and there's people who have faith when they are in trouble. And that's what this song is about.
Foxhole Faith.
Foxhole Faith is a good way of putting it. It's called The Lord and the Losing Streak.
Just before he lights into it, folks, Mr. Jory Nash is who we've been listening to. JoryNash.com is the website. Jory, J-O-R-Y, Nash.com. And if you aren't in a place where you can write that down, go to our website later, and you can find it there. And if you missed any of today's show, you can go to our website, drewmarshall.ca. By the end of the week, we'll have everything loaded for your listening pleasure. Jory Nash, live in the Drew Marshall Show.
Oh, Lord, I'm back again. My hand is out for your medicine. Please don't ask me where I've been. I was doing wrong. The high life, the social scene, pretty girls and amphetamines, and somewhere's up and in between, I sold you for a song. I know it seems a bit unkind to only call from time to time with stories of my little crimes, but you take what you can get. So I will shout and act surprised when the feeling comes as advertised. And maybe I'll feel compromised, but it hasn't happened yet. Oh, Lord, I won't ask for forgiveness, because I know that's what you want from me. No, I'm just giving you the business. How religious or prodigious can one man be? Lord, tell me no, cut me down and let me go. Maybe I'll just gigolo 2 or 3 times a week. But I won't beg and I won't cry and I won't look you in the eye. But I will surely testify to break this losing streak. Yes, I will surely testify and break this losing streak.